JC2S, Part 2. Number 19B.
So now we build the logic up step by step. So Mrs. Eddy helps us a little bit more, and she says, yes, yes, she says that divine mind, which is the medicine, which never called matter medicine because it never mingles with its opposite. Now that mind is superior to the human mind, the second degree, and to matter, the first degree. So we'll just listen to how she says that. Page 143.13. For truth as mind is soul. 143, beginning at 13, yes. Sometimes the human mind uses one error to medicine another. Driven to choose between two difficulties, the human mind takes the lesser to relieve the greater. On this basis, it saves from starvation by theft and quiets pains with anodynes. You admit that mind influences body somewhat, but you conclude that the stomach, blood, nerves, bones, etc. hold the preponderance of power. Controlled by this belief, you continue in the old routine. You lean on the inert and unintelligent, never discerning how this deprives you of the available superiority of the divine mind. The body is not controlled scientifically by a negative mind. Well, if the body is not controlled scientifically by a negative mind, it's controlled unscientifically by a negative mind, as we'll see. So we say, all right, what is she saying tone-wise? We're going into the text to hear truth is mind is soul. So she says that sometimes the human mind, the opposite of mind, uses as its remedy the opposite of truth, one error, the opposite of truth, to medicine, the opposite of mind, another error, the opposite of truth. Driven to choose between two difficulties, the human mind takes the lesser to relieve the greater. See, it does the opposite than what the divine mind, because the divine mind takes the greater to relieve the lesser, takes ideas to relieve beliefs. But here the human mind takes the lesser matter to try to relieve the greater, which would be really beliefs objectified. So that's the soul tone. The human mind, the opposite of mind, takes the lesser to relieve the greater. That's the opposite of the rule of soul, which the greater controls the lesser, so it would be counterfeit of soul. On this basis, which is a false basis, opposite of mind, which is the right basis, it saves from starvation by theft and quiets pain with anodynes. You admit that mind influences the body. Well, the human mind influences the body somewhat, but you conclude that the stomach, blood, nerves, bones, that matter, holds preponderance of power. We say that mind influences the body somewhat, but yet we conclude that matter has the preponderance of power, the greater power. Isn't that funny? We say that mind influences the power, but we give to matter the greater power. You see, the lesser to relieve the greater, against that sense of lesser relieving the greater, the opposite of soul. Controlled, the opposite of soul, by this reversal, having the lesser control the greater, you continue in the old routine. You lean on the inert and unintelligent and never discern how this deprives you of the availability. See, you learn on this opposite of soul. You keep leaning on the lesser to improve the greater. That's all the opposite of soul. It's just showing that over and over again, this is what we're doing. You lean on the inert and unintelligent, never discerning how this deprives you of the availability of now the real rule of soul. How the superiority of mind over the beliefs, over the physical. The body is not controlled scientifically by a negative mind. meaning that the body is controlled by a negative mind unscientifically, if you could say it that way. That it uses, that's unscientific to use that rule, that the lesser controls the greater. That's not scientific. So we're using that rule to control the body, and we're practicing a very unscientific rule, which is the opposite of soul. All right? So we say, let's take a look now at our abstraction, which is pretty much what we know now just by coloring the text. So we see that she's showing then that that truth is mind, that the mind is the remedy of truth because it is superior to the human mind and to matter. Therefore, that ideas control beliefs, which then control their objectification called a sickness. So that is the right rule, where the greater controls the lesser. She's saying, so that she's bringing up the question, what controls what? What has preponderance over what? What is superior to what? And in the text you can hear it even further, a further breakdown of mind, spirit, and soul. She answers this question of what controls what? What is superior to what? And she says, well, that the human mind uses one error to medicine another, the lesser to relieve the greater. And she says, therefore, the belief that matter holds preponderance of power over the influence of mind and body. That's that lesser that controls the greater is the belief that matter is that lesser which is trying to control the greater. And then she goes to show, well, anyhow, it's the superiority of the divine mind. It's the greater that controls the lesser. Can you even hear that further breakdown of mind, spirit, and soul? It's incredible how exact. So in answer to the question of what controls what is superior to what, she just then breaks it down very clearly and says, well, finally, only the divine mind is superior, and the divine mind uses the right rule of soul. So she says that truth, which is mind, which is soul, it's the only remedy, because it is the only one that is using that correct rule of the greater controlling the lesser. So if we now go back to the flow of our epitomes, we now are very happy with this. We can now go back to our room and practice point three this evening as an exercise and really feel comfortable about it. Really begin to get that flow, because now this is giving, when we get a mind tone, it gives us the basis for the whole subject that follows. So as an exercise, I want you to finally feel that, yes, I can rely on that remedy, that remedy makes sense to me. And now I'm just going to repeat for the sake of exercising in point three, in flowing with the epitomes. So you go back to your room and you say, oh my, that truth, which is Christian Science, that truth has come to me through this chapter, that truth is showing me that through that truth consciousness, which I have seen now, which has been based on mind, spirit, and soul, which constitutes that science of God. And when that science of God is now living in my consciousness as the truth theology, that I allow that truth, now called Christian Science, the science of God, to come to me. And I allow that to come to me. And when it comes to me in the first translation, I say to myself, I say, I'm going to allow the retranslation to happen in my life. I'm going to let this be the remedy. I'm not going to take any more remedies. I'm going to try this remedy of truth. And if I am open to truth being the remedy, and let that retranslation happen in my life, it will replace the common belief in the curative effect of drugs that is in the world with truth as the only remedy. And I said, well, that's wonderful, but I can't take that on belief alone. I want to know more information about that. Why do I understand? Because truth has to do with science and understanding. How do I, through science and understanding, now begin to understand that truth is the only remedy? Well, Mrs. Eddy is helping me. Because truth is mind, she's saying to me, oh, well, you know that the divine mind is the remedy of truth, that divine mind was first, that divine mind is the basis of the universe, that divine mind is the all in all, that the divine mind is the only creator, and that the divine mind creates ideas only. Well, therefore, that divine mind, which is the first, therefore it must have created the first medicine, and therefore what it creates are ideas, therefore those ideas must be the medicine. All right? Therefore, divine mind's ideas are my medicine. And therefore, divine mind's ideas are the medicine that I take as the remedy of truth. And then I say, oh, that's wonderful. Mind's ideas are now the remedy of truth that I take. And now I can begin to rely on those ideas. I can begin to say, yes, I can see that with a consciousness filled with the allness of mind and its ideas, and spirit and its ideas, and soul and its ideas, and principle and its ideas, and life and its ideas, and truth and its ideas, against such a consciousness there is no law. So that's the remedy. And as I begin to read ideas, see, that's mind reading. That's the medicine, is to mind read. So as I begin to read only the realm of ideas, only the realm of the first record of creation, when I put on the white garments and I go out from mind speaking to the mind in me, and I know that the divine mind is my teacher and the student within me is mind, and that mind presents its ideas, and all I'm doing is really reading ideas. I just have a consciousness in the divine infinite calculus, only seeing reality from the standpoint of mind in its ideas, and spirit in its ideas, and soul in its ideas, and truth in its ideas, soul in its ideas, and principle in its ideas, and life in its ideas, and truth in its ideas, and love in its ideas. If I dare to see the world from the standpoint of God's and its ideas, that's even better than what Einstein said when he asked, what does the world look like from the speed of light? And brought forth the E equals MC squared. If I say I am even a greater scientist because I work in the realm of spiritual mathematics. So I'm going to rely on that being a spiritual mathematician. And I'm going to say, what does the world look like from the standpoint of God and its ideas? And if I do that, that's the remedy. That's mind reading. Mind just reads ideas. And so it says, yes, yes, okay. Therefore, mind is mind, says, now that's my medicine of truth. And truth is mind, as spirit says. And that medicine never takes matter into consideration. It never takes drugs into consideration. It never can be turned into its opposite. I maintain that remedy. I am not tempted by the talking, lying serpent that there's any other remedy than the remedy of a consciousness entertaining the allness of God's and its ideas. I feel that that's natural to my consciousness through science and understanding. I understand just this. Then I say, well, it's truth as mind as soul. Therefore, as I entertain God in its ideas within my consciousness, and I'm not tempted at the point of spirit to let spiritualism come in and mingle ideas with beliefs, then I maintain the purity of my vision, and I focus and stay focused only on a consciousness reading the realm of ideas. Therefore, as I read the realm of ideas, that is a rule, that by reading those ideas, that is the rule, therefore, where the superior controls the lesser. Therefore, that is a rule in being. that if I take the superior, it's going to control the lesser. That's soul. And soul just isn't any old quality in being. It, as I said, presents the rule of God. So therefore, if I follow that rule and I keep entertaining only ideas and as a tonality of my consciousness, then that is a consciousness which is superior to the human mind in its beliefs. And it corrects, it will eventually correct those human minds in its beliefs and therefore correct the physical. You see? And just do that tonight until we really feel that the basis of Christian Science practice is normal and natural to us. You see, Mrs. Eddy said we have to heal ourselves of the belief that Christian Science doesn't heal. And so this prayerful, we have concept build today in class. Now we need to tonality build with truth as mind, which is brought out in its sub-subtones. And as we begin to tonality build with truth as mind, it will become as spirit natural to us. And therefore we will see as truth is spirit, therefore that this truth controls error only through spiritual and not through material means. See, that becomes natural in its control. But we've got to make this truth is mind our basis tonality. Once it's tonality, it becomes consciousness and it becomes being. So finally, we're getting that truth consciousness which heals because we are getting it at the point of tonality as the basis of our practice. So go back to the room tonight and yourself, just get into a little corner somewhere and go over this through concept building, tonality building, consciousness building, and being building. This tone is truth is mine, as I said, till it becomes natural and you feel the superiority of this remedy over any other remedies. And then once you begin to feel that as a tone, then go on and perhaps see what she has to say as truth is spirit, and then truth is soul, truth is principle, as much as you can this evening. But even if you only spend the whole evening concept building, tonality building, consciousness building, and being building on the premise of truth is mind as the only remedy, that would be wonderful. And then we will begin to be real Christian Science practitioners. All right. So, yes, we build now from where we left the subject off yesterday. And we just, therefore, we're building up together that tone of truth as mind, as mind, as spirit, and soul. And so now we feel quite comfortable in knowing, therefore, that we always turn to the divine mind. That is, Mrs. Eddy said here, that the divine mind is first. It's our basis. It's always that which we go back to in order to guide, lead, and direct us under every single occasion. And as I have said now, that mind is that which gives us the vision. It's mind coupled with love. It's mind that gives us the vision of what the universe, including man, is in pre-established perfection. Because mind is being, and mind sees that which is. So mind is making known to us through the Christ. You see, the Christ brings that mind. It's the mind which comes right to us with that specific idea, which is the remedy. That's why the Christ is behind this chapter, because that Christ brings us the specific idea. You see, it just doesn't bring any idea. But the Christ, the mind which is Christ, that mind which is that all-knowing mind, which is always reading its ideas, which is always only going out from that realm of ideas. Therefore, as it reads its ideas, it has what the world calls within itself the black box in that cybernetic process of input process. To the world, the black box of cybernetics, they say, is a mystery. It isn't known. But we know through the mind of Christ that mechanism, that Christ mind is that which is the selector. It's the scanner. That's what the Christ does. The mind, which is Christ, now scans its whole field of ideas. It's, you can just see that mind scanning all this information that it has. And through the ability of the Christ, because we saw in that Christ order, that the Christ is based on the order of principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind. So that mind, which is under the laws, under those dynamic laws of principle, life, truth, and love, that mind has within itself the potential power, principle. It has within itself the dynamic power, life. It has within itself that conscious power, truth. It has within itself that total engaging power, love. That's what mind has within itself as the Christ. And that mind begins to, from its subjective power, to subjectively objectify its universal idea at soul. And soul is saying, all right, I am going to make that which mind is going to objectify always one with mind, always maintaining that infinite withinness, always maintaining that the idea that mind manifests is intact, that it's never separate from mind. Therefore, we know soul, that point where reality at its deepest level is where the subjective and the objective is one. And no, Mrs. Eddy said instead of are, she changed that grammatical form and said that principle and its idea is one rather than are one, to make the relationship even closer. So soul really then is that standpoint that is maintaining, as mind begins to project its idea or image, soul is maintaining the relationship, the agreement between the mind and its idea, making sure that that idea is just an image in mind, a likeness of mind. That's what's happening in that first translation. It's just saying, all right, that what mind creates is like mind. It's an image of mind. I maintain that balance. I don't let it become lost. I don't let it becomes separate from that mind. So it becomes that identifying power. And then the Christ mind begins to scan all its field of ideas at the point of spirit. And it begins to diversify all those ideas within its ordering power. And it begins to classify all those ideas within its ordering power of spirit. And then it begins to individualize all those ideas within its ordering power of spirit. And it picks out the exact idea for the specific situation which is made known to mind, huh? That is manifested at the point of mind. And that idea through the mind of Christ comes right to us. As we see, it's tailor-made for the specific situation through those laws of truth, life, and love. That mind, therefore, is taking that whole truth, it's infinitely individualizing it and adapting it to our specific situation. That's the mind of Christ. And there's nothing mysterious about that. The only thing is mysterious about it is why we don't rely on it. When we know that it is the only source, the only origin, the only basis from which Christian Science goes out. And she says it's the only basis from which we should reason. We saw that last year. She says, stop the sensual reasoning. Stop reasoning from the problem. Stop reasoning from sense testimony. And instead of doing false reversal by going out from sense testimony and from the aches and from the pains and making a reality of the uncovering of air, we are to not go out from the air and then try to reverse it back to the truth. That's false reversal. She says you go out from the truth. Go out from the divine mind and let that mind which is God in you read the realm of ideas. Let it read the realm of the ideas of mind. Let it read the realm of the ideas of spirit and soul and principle, life, truth, and love. And when we submit to that principle, mind. Then it acts as the savior. It begins this Christ mechanism, which begins by itself. It's not something we do. That all-knowing mind itself begins, as I say, to begin that descent, that Emmanuel, God with us. It begins then to go through the process I just explained of bringing out that specific idea for a specific situation. And when that idea is made known to consciousness, and if we're listening and going out from the mind of Christ with spiritual sense, it is made known, we understand it, it's identified within our consciousness, and therefore that automatically, Mrs. Eddy says, through the laws of opposites, analyzes if there's anything within our consciousness that is not in agreement with that idea. If there is agreement, it just goes on and spirals us higher again from a boundless basis of another experience. But if that idea comes to us and doesn't find agreement within our consciousness, it then begins to uncover that which is not like itself. It does it itself. It brings it out. And Mrs. Eddy says it must come out. It must be seen. We can't just deny error. That would be not using the mind of Christ. That would be just mentalism. Affirmations and denials have nothing to do with Christian Science. Just affirming the truth and denying error. That's metaphysics. So she says, as we saw yesterday in her article, Separation Between Truth and Error, that you can't deny. That's metaphysics. And therefore, affirming and denying. She says, this is science. You go to the mind of Christ. It's going to present the idea which analyzes the situation, uncovers it, makes it known. It has to, as she said, and we saw. And therefore, she says, don't flee in front of it. Don't say, as we saw, what have I done wrong? Where have I gotten off the track? We say, I've been in Christian Science all my life, and I've been now in the Dorley-Kapler line, and all these physical ailments come up. Now, what's the problem? Nothing's the problem. Stay with the mind of Christ. Let the error expose itself, but we understand with the mind of Christ, once it's exposed itself, it's already two-thirds destroyed. And Mrs. Eddy said the last third destroys itself, because when it's uncovered, the idea which uncover it, which we understand, proves the nothingness of nothing becomes plain. And we let it go as an unreality. So we say to ourselves, there's nothing mysterious about that beautiful healing operation that is going on of the mind of Christ through its translation and retranslation as it scans the science order, the Christ order. Is, as I said, it's only the mystery, as I just said, of why we don't do it, why we don't turn to it. That is something that we have to struggle with within ourselves. Why we are not willing to go forward.